Dave Chang is an avid student and fan of sports, music, art, film, and of course, food. With a rotating cast of guests, they have conversations that cover everything from the creative process to his guests' guiltiest pleasures. Follow The Dave Chang Show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, media consumers. This is The Press Box. Brian Curtis and Kevin Clark here along with producer Erica Cervantes. Kevin, we had to jump on a pod because we're both watching Peyton and Eli Manning's alternate broadcast of Monday Night Football on ESPN2. It's good. It's largely really good. And it feels like something is happening tonight that could at least change the way we think about watching games on TV. Your opening thoughts on Peyton and Eli?
Well, I'll say this. We've done two emergency press boxes, you and I, over the past, 3 years. One of them was the NFL signing game-changing TV contracts and what that meant to the salary cap and the way the league is structured and all this stuff. And the other is that a broadcast made us laugh. Like a football broadcast made us chuckle and we were texting about it. And that's where we're at. My opening thought is that the Mannings have cornered the market on something because there were people who were tweeting at me tonight and they were like, oh, everybody should do this. Well, everybody doesn't have Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. And that's the important part here. And I kind of think that we're going to get a wave of bad imitations now. Like every executive might tomorrow be like, oh, we got to get two players in, just chop it up. And you got to have the right personalities. Eli was on Slow News Day last week, which is the video series I host. And he was so funny. And it was the kind of thing, like, he was laughing about Eli face. He was doing it for me. His son has it. He was talking about Zoolander. He was going through all this stuff. He was deadpanning. And it was the kind of thing, you always hear this. You hear this about Andy Reid, too. Is like, there's a secret funny side to them. And I never believe it, because if it doesn't show up, it just doesn't exist in my book. And it all kind of showed up at once. It was just a huge avalanche of Eli deadpan. And now we've seen it. Travis Kelce is now on the broadcast for some reason. That was unannounced. But I just think that this is gold. I think there's some flaws. We don't want to pick nits. We will here in a little bit. But I love this as a football consumer, as somebody who loves the game. There's concerns I have that, like, my parents might be confused by this. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not the core audience. A Kyle Bowler anecdote to me is gold. I love the Kyle Bowler anecdotes. My parents are the reason that, like, 60 million people watch an AFC championship game. And I don't know how it plays to, as the old saying goes, Peoria right now.
Okay, so I want to ask you about that, because I think I had this thought coming in that they were going to go really broad. You know, Peyton and Eli Manning are the kind of people that our parents know, kind of at, you know, yeah, in the, like, tiny number of athletes my mom could be like, I know who that is. And I kind of thought it was going to be very celebby and very, you know, we're talking some ball, but we're also talking to, you know, we're talking to, you know, some guy from a movie or Will Ferrell, whoever it is. And they were going to be going for just kind of, we're going to go viral. We're going to do this. We'll get stuff on GMA, right? Some clips they can show. This was a lot of football. It was pretty heavy X's and O's right out of the gate. With Peyton standing in front of the whiteboard, was it not?
Almost immediately. And to the point, it was strange. There was so much football that there was not a focus on the football, if that makes sense. There was not a focus on the football that was actually happening. And they solved that pretty quickly. So if people weren't watching immediately, Peyton put the Gruden visor on within 30 seconds. He goes to the whiteboard. He's doing five or six things that were obviously pre-planned. But the problem is like, you know, as the old saying goes, life is what happens while you're making plans. And there was a football game happening and they had some stuff ready to go and they were missing the beginning of snaps. They were talking about things that weren't happening on the screen. I think they abandoned that pretty quickly and figured out maybe they ran out of bits. But they, once they settled in and they were just talking about football, and even with Charles Barkley, they were doing football stuff. They had a couple of hoops questions and stuff like that. But I would say that, you know, once Peyton got into, oh, Ray, the bringing pressure mode, or getting angry, being offended at Derek Carr's bad play, that's when I thought it really took off. If they keep the football the centerpiece of the show, first of all, that's what they know best. It's not like this is some stretch for them, but they're also going to be funny and engaging. I think the fact that Travis Kelce's on right now is a lot better than if you remember the Monday Night Football years where they had like Christian Slater in the booth.
Yeah, that was tough.
We didn't need that. We need more Travis Kelce.
Absolutely. You realized immediately why Peyton Manning has been the number one prospect for every single network for years now. He's really good at talking about football. Eli's also really good at talking about football. I think the big surprise for me from jump tonight was that Peyton was really good at kind of doing play by play in addition to being the analyst. Like, it was very big brother, little brother, where he's like, no, I got this. I'm right. I'm going to let you come in. Right. I'm going to let you come in. I had a little bit of that podcast vibe where you're the listener and you're like, why isn't that one podcast host letting the other host talk at all? Right. He was fired up. He was going, but he was really good at talking about what was happening on the screen, like setting it up like this happened. And then let me tell you why this happened. He was doing both jobs.
Next episode, Peyton is going to do just a 15-minute Mark Maron style monologue to open up the game for the first quarter. Yeah.
Peyton is Mike Daisy.
Let's bring in Eli.
That's what's happened today. It felt a little, and then I felt like somebody tweeted at me. They're like, Peyton cannot be this charged up for 3 hours, right? Like, he's just going to have to stop. He's going to run out of material.
They're both great. I'm glad. I think that the host of this show, obviously, there were a lot of amazing candidates. I'm actually glad that just a free flowing conversation between those two, and then bringing the third. I would, as much as I'm enjoying this, I'd watch the guests. We don't need to overbook the guests here. The best part of it is Eli and Peyton watching the game. I don't need necessarily like Myles Garrett next game. Like, I'm good on some of this stuff. If it's pertinent, or I mean, if it's somebody who has a keen insight on one of these teams, that's important. But let's not just bring in random people for the sake of doing it. We've talked about this a million times. Like, one of the cheat codes in podcasting, and there's a huge difference between national television and podcasting, but one of the things that we've learned is looking at the metrics is a lot of times, like, the relationships and the two people who are the three people or the four people who are the core tenants of the podcast, that's what the audience wants, right? Yes. That's what the audience wants. They don't want, you know, some random person coming in and sitting in for 30 minutes and leaving from their lives, like the Poochie stuff from The Simpsons, right? They don't want that. They want the core over and over again. And so I think that's one thing to watch. But other than that, I mean, that's picking nits.
So the relationship stuff was off the charts tonight. Is off the charts. This is still happening, by the way. Kevin, in case there's like
they've
a
had
disaster,
some time to build up chemistry.
There's something horrible that happens in the third quarter. Just ignore everything Kevin and I say over the next couple of minutes. But the chemistry was great. And it was also just felt very warm. And you and I, again, have been around media, sports media, for a long time. And the biggest note any producer gives to anyone is just talk about the game like you're explaining it to your friends. Just talk about it like you're talking at a bar. And in fact, Peyton said that in the run-up to this broadcast. And I went, oh, no. Oh, no. I've heard this. I know this. They kind of have been doing that tonight. They have been talking in a really nice, casual, let's watch football and talk about it in a really smart way.
And the fact that they're brothers makes up for the fact that they're not going to be in the same room, but there's a natural ebb and flow of chemistry, even if Eli isn't talking as much. I'm in total agreement with you. I mean, Peyton is hitting all the right notes. He knows exactly how to do it. I mean, like, got to remember, Peyton, even outside of the games, he's been talking about football for a long time. I mean, he is a beacon of corporate America. You know, it's almost like Phil Mickelson, right? Where, like, he's got a glad hand a lot. And so he's got to explain football to a lot of people who don't necessarily know football. He's also extremely good with the media. Yep. I know most people think that the media doesn't care. We have a random Reggie Jackson shot here. Reggie, Mr. October in the house. He's, no, we moved on. Now it's George Lopez. But
it's... What's happening? We're doing Hollywood Squares here.
They're doing a celebrity montage.
Oh wow! Yeah, there was there's Reggie. There's Mr. October.
It's like a boxing match. It's like a boxing match.
The bits were kind of incredible. We should say tonight, because they were both like, okay, Peyton and Eli are each going to stand up and pretend they are the other quarterback in real time, and none of us at home will have any idea what's going on right now. Peyton,
so
we gotta put on a helmet.
What's funny to me, Brian, is I was thinking about this as we were talking about it, but I remember talking to a play-by-play guy 4 or 5 years ago, guy I know kind of well, and he was like, you would not believe the amount of studying that goes on the week of a game, right? And I understand why. And he said it's basically like cramming for the SAT, maybe worse, where you're just trying to learn hometowns and little anecdotes about 53rd guy on the roster just in case. And I guess the question is, I hate to be like, you know, Chip Kelly in one of those job interviews, one of those famous job interviews, but like, why? Like, why? Why? What is the driving force of network television that led us to the point that it's like, I have to know exactly when this guy started playing football? And I wonder if that's the biggest thing that's going to change, is instead of that kind of preparation, just saying, you know what, these guys know football really well. It might be, I'm never going to say it's the end of the play-by-play guy. You know this. Al Michaels is a king. Joe Buck is a king. They make the games go. And if you want to see the best value, the best case for a play-by-play guy, watch a game with a bad play-by-play guy, and you're going to figure it out real quickly. It's like when a star player just goes out of the game and they just forget how to play football, a defense or whatever. So that's never going to go away. But the tone of it and the preparation, how networks approach this stuff, that in the short term is what might change.
Yeah, and the funny thing about that is Peyton seemed like he was prepared within an inch of his life today, which is not a surprise if it, you know, for everything we know about Peyton Manning as a football player. But he actually came with like 9,000 anecdotes tonight. And, you know, you and I, when we talk to
the coordinators.
Yeah. When we talk to color guys, you know, constantly, they're always like, look, you prepare 100 things and you use 5 of them because the games. Mm-hmm. Peyton seemed like he was determined to get in 99 of them in the first quarter tonight. He's like, I got a story. I got an anecdote about the Manning Passing Academy I got to get in right now. I got a Kyle Baller anecdote, which I saw you tweeting out. I'm like, he felt like he had to smash everything in. And yet, which I would also, if I was given notes, Peyton, we can just take that down like 2/3 for the next game. Yeah. You don't have to come in with all that. But even with all that, he did feel like he was talking naturally. And you're right. It felt like he was talking in a less stilted way than the broadcaster says, oh, we got to get to this element in the second half because I've come up with this replay package and we're going to throw it to me. You got it. I don't know if you noticed with Peyton Hill, they showed Lamar Jackson's high school highlights and they both just no-sold it. They're like, can we just get the game back on here? What is happening? No interest in that package.
It's what you've been talking about with some of these halftime shows, Brian, where it's like everything is so prepackaged that there's no time for anybody to talk, and they're just moving on from this. There's none of this, even though the bits are pre-planned. There's not the okay, Peyton has to hit his mark right now and talk 15 seconds and say, this stadium is a long time in the making, Eli. Like, you don't need to do that. No one cares.
No.
And what was interesting to me is like, so Peyton and Eli, I don't know if you heard this, Peyton and Eli right after halftime were basically just like, yeah, there's no such thing as halftime adjustments.
That was funny.
But that's also, they're the first people to ever say this.
Yes, it was a great.
I've been watching football for 30 years.
Well, see, I heard that. And everybody's like, did Kevin write that column at the Journal? Like, I just thought everybody knew that, but it was because it was so funny.
No, you know what I actually did write? There are no speeches.
Oh, good.
No speeches. And pregame or halftime, I did write no speeches in the locker room. Didn't want to do the no locker room genre too heavily. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because Russillo was begging Chris Long for answers on what adjustments meant. And Chris thought it meant like, he thought that because the defensive line never made adjustments, he thought it meant like the back end, like the defensive backs were making the adjustments. But it turns out nobody was making adjustments. Just nobody. It's like a band where every country thinks that like the next country over is the country that likes the band. Like no one is actually embracing the adjustments here. It's not actually happening.
Uh-huh. It's very, but that was a really good bit. And you're right. If any sports TV show was made as an artistic reaction to NBA Countdown on ESPN, it was the Manning cast of Monday Night Football. We don't have 9 seconds to talk. We have 3 hours. We're just going tonight. There's plenty of time. Write down a couple of other things. First of all, you mentioned the guests. The technical direction was pretty great for a quarter and a half. And then we got to like Ray Lewis was in the middle of an anecdote. And we just went to commercial.
I actually like that.
It was charmingly.
That is as close to slow news day as ever going to get to network television. It's just anecdote starts and then we just never hear the end of it.
There was a fire alarm going off apparently when Ray Lewis was talking. I thought that was pretty funny. Shoemaker and I had a convo on this pod a couple of weeks ago about how in media right now, there's two different worlds. There's the world of television, and then there's the world of podcasting, and they're all very, very separate. And this did feel, we kept saying, when is TV going to sound more like a podcast? Or maybe if you want to say podcast, more like TV. Tonight felt like they were creeping a little bit closer to each other. Like that would have been a good, this would have been a good long football convo podcast that just happened to be a game cast.
I agree. I think there's a fine line, because I do think that the problem with podcasting is that TV does demand some level of credibility that I think you can actually get to in podcasting with a different route. Like if you just, I mean, like look at the, I know this is, sounds crazy, but like, you know, most of the murder mystery podcasts are just people reading Wikipedia that people like, you know, it's not like the forensic scientists are actually turned on the microphones here. Uh-huh. And with football, I really do think that there's some credibility. I mean, you and I know people who have tried to get on as, you know, as anything, as you and I know, both know people, reporters who have tried to climb the ladder on TV, and they get to a certain point and some executive takes them aside and says, you didn't play, you didn't coach.
Yep.
You didn't, you know, you didn't watch tape in a front office, and you're where you're going to be for the next 20 years. And that is not the case in podcasting. And I wonder how much that's going to change, if at all. I mean, like, again, I go back to the, my mom, her parents, whatever, or excuse me, my mom, my parents, their friends, all that stuff. They turn on the TV and they're like, oh, cool, let's see what Peyton Manning has to say. That's the default. That's why they go with huge stars. I mean, I was talking to someone the other day about this, about the M&F booth in general. Is like the reason they go with ex players in the safe picks is because they don't want to take a chance. And if they're going to take a chance, it's going to be on a huge star. And so I think that there's still a gate that is locked to most people when it comes to big time television. And that will remain the case for probably longer than we think.
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. When I think if anything comes out of tonight, and here's my half-assed think piece for the night. When we think about these alternate telecasts, they're usually very fun for people that love football like you and I, the coaches' film room during the national championship game on ESPN, some of the gambling stuff. I'm sure some people get a kick out of that. I don't watch much of that, but all the little things can be very, very fun. Tonight was the first one where I went, oh, we've had 70 years of a play-by-play announcer and a famous color analyst calling a game in a very specific way. This was the first time I watched something and thought, with some changes, you know, with some people getting used to it, maybe this could be the main broadcast. Maybe we could do something different.
I agree.
And break up that mold that we've had for so long.
I agree with one huge caveat. I think this could be the main broadcast. I don't think anything else like this
with Peyton could be the main broadcast.
With Peyton and Eli, yes.
So
that's
this
it.
Thing could this be a, the Super Bowl this main
is,
A
this
broadcast.
This is a black swan event. Yes. I mean, like, if you wanted to have this as a Super Bowl, you could stick Chris Fowler in with them or Steve Levy or whomever and say, okay, we're going to do the Peyton and Eli thing, but we'll just have a little bit of scene here, you know, and just set up who the quarterback is, where he went to college, all that stuff, all that good stuff for the 102 million people who are watching. But I agree with you. This is driving the action forward. I think that there's, you know, the coaches film stuff, I would also say the functional problem with that is that it's during the national championship, and I really want to pay attention to the national championship. I don't need Gus Malzahn and Mike Gundy breaking down some third down that Trevor Lawrence is doing, because I just want to know who's going to win the game. I know that sounds very basic, but like I can get second level stuff the next day, 2 days later, whatever. With this, I got to tell you, my life is not going to change depending on the Ravens or the Raiders outcome here today. And so it's a little more casual. And so I'd say maybe the bigger the game, the less this works, you know, maybe we give less slack if there's just some random anecdote that goes for 2 minutes when it's this type of game. So that's one thing to watch. But again, like I'd rather TV take those chances and be entertaining and fail a little bit and figure out what works rather than doing what they've done and relegating this stuff to over the top or whatever.
Yeah. Experimentation is always a good thing. And I'm with you. Like I am really very much a play-by-play announcer person, because at some point when I'm watching the alternate ones, I'm always like, what's happening? I don't understand. I can't hear the crowd, which is a really cool element of watching football on television, especially college right. football on television. I just need somebody kind of setting it up for me.
Uh-oh, Eli has an iPad.
Reminding me of the stakes.
This is actually a step in the wrong direction.
Oh yeah. He was diagramming a minute ago. Is he diagramming again, or is he just...
Yeah, he's back.
Just setting up the kids on Disney Plus. What's going on here? I like
Travis Kelce's been on a long time, by the way.
Yeah,
is this just a three-man booth now?
He's also sitting in front of some very interesting plants. And a very, very shaggy throw over that couch or whatever that is. I love announcers because they give you context. You know, when the one time the networks tried an announcerless game, nobody had any idea what was going on because, you know, I'm a much more basic football fan than you. And it's just very helpful to every minute and a half. Somebody says, here is what is happening in the game. Here are the stakes.
Yeah.
But the one thing I'd say about tonight is I thought they did as good a job as I've ever seen on a non-traditional broadcast of actually setting that up. There were mm-hmm. times they got away from it a little bit with the guests and all that kind of stuff, but I knew what was happening in the game. I knew how the quarterbacks were playing. They did a lot of Manning-y jokes. It was very, very good at that.
Travis Kelce for the Summerall role?
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. Kind of the tight-lipped first and 10. It's not a lot of room there for him, was there? Kind of the counterpuncher to Peyton and Eli. You know, you bring
just
up the
next 60 years, just Travis Kelce the next 60 years in the booth.
You bring up the guess, but this is what happens. Bill, our boss, talks about this all the time. The three-man booth is always problematic, or almost always problematic.
Yeah.
So we went from two, and then we went to three, and it's not as good. I want to ask you this as a football guy and a quarterback whisperer. Who are the other people? If we agree that...
Yeah.
Peyton and Eli are kind of on their own tier, their own place here. Who are the other quarterbacks or other players you could see succeeding in this kind of environment, even guys who are playing now?
Okay. So that's a great question. So I think there's a level of confidence that you need. Peyton Manning has it to talk out of turn. And that was always the thing that was the tantalizing possibility of Jay Cutler. Although I think Cutler has kind of cycled out of this whole media world. That he would go out there and just start guns a-blazing. I don't even, you know, Tony Romo is great at it, but I don't even know if Tony Romo goes out of his way to rip people. I mean, the way that Manning is reacting naturally to Derek Carr and some of his mistakes is really fun to watch. I don't think he means to be mean, but it's just important. And it kind of like what Troy Aikman's done the last couple of years, where it's just, he just hates guys.
He's just going unplugged. Guys,
and he can't handle it. So here's my short list. I'm one of the executives get their pencils out.
Yeah, we're whiteboarding. So
I already gave executives Robert Griffin III. That's been noted. Philip Rivers would be a big one. We're gonna have to wait on Baker. Unfortunately, it's gonna be a while for Baker. Aaron Rodgers, if he wants to do it, I doubt he's gonna want
to
do it.
He's the first name that came to mind for me. He could succeed in this environment.
The only way it's going to work is if you let it be Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be like Aaron Rodgers' grievance hour, which is going to be amazing.
Wait, is he talking about the Packers or is he talking about?
He's talking about everything. I mean, what I mean by that is like some of Aaron Rodgers' best moments are, and I love the guy, some of his best press conference moments are just like someone will be like, Aaron, yeah, you threw that pass off the back foot there in the third quarter. And he'll go, you know, that's funny because when I was coming out of high school, the big book on me was that I couldn't throw off my back foot. And he'll just go into some weird direction that's just like just grinding an axe, which could be amazing television at all times. But I don't know. I don't necessarily know if you would want to do that. Joe Burrow is going to be an amazing TV guy one
Ooh,
day.
Just that's a good
just
one.
Just see the ball hit the ball. Brady's never going to want to do it, and he wouldn't be good anyway. I'm looking here.
I mean, Drew Brees is clearly being set up for big things, but I don't know that I feel he's
the guys who are aging out. There's no one really. Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan, but you have to also have to remember, Bruce Arians was the prospect of all prospects.
Yeah,
remember that? It was like, oh, BA is going to get in the booth and he's just going to talk all this shit, and then nothing happened.
No.
And then he went back to football and was way more candid.
The Bruce Arians era of broadcasting I just think he didn't know
what to say. But the guys who are aging out now, Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan, even like a little bit younger, Matthew Stafford and those guys, they're not really gonna light it up. I'd say the list is Aaron Rodgers would be pie in the sky. That's gonna be like what Peyton has been for the past 5 years. Philip Rivers, if you can get him out of Fairhope, Alabama, the Fairhope, Alabama high school system, which he seems to enjoy right now. And then I think you're going to have to wait on some of these younger guys. I really do think the RG3, even though apparently he's begging the football team to sign him today, always concerned when you sign like a 30-year-old is that he's going to try to play again.
Yeah, usually that's the thing with coaches, right, as they go back to the league. But here you have the quarterback, right, maybe like a Jay Cutler going back to the league. That's a good list. I mean, the Manning one surprises me, though, because the networks have been trying to hire him for years. And part of the reason he didn't want to do it is he said, I don't want to talk about Tom Brady, Eli Manning, brother, or Drew Brees on television. I always thought Brees was kind of the weird one of those three. I guess it's a New Orleans and a Saints thing. But it felt like he is kind of the anti-Barkley, right? I'm not doing it. But tonight it didn't seem to matter. He seemed to be happy to be honest about these guys.
I have a couple more for you. Number one, AJ McCarron's going straight into a college booth going straight with a headset.
I got the list here. This is going to all the executives tonight. We're setting them up.
Yeah. Colt McCoy is going straight to the Longhorn Network if it exists. I'm looking at the backup quarterbacks now.
Yeah, not too sure.
Chase Daniel. Big one.
Okay.
Daniel Cast.
We've gotten all the boosts now if we're down to Chase Daniel.
No, I'm just Chase Daniel's actually going to be better than the other guys. I think that's a solid list. I just don't think Russell Wilson is one of the smartest and most insightful guys on a football side. He's never going to say anything that he just doesn't want to rock the boat in that regard. Trying to think who else. I mean, like, I just, you know, I think you need a certain level of insight. This is why I identified RG3 when he was with the Ravens. You need a certain level of insight, but then a willingness to just poke the bear. And that's what I really liked about RG3. And that's also something you can't project. It's like the quarterback position, you know, projecting from college to pro. You don't know actually what traits are going to make the leap.
That's right. Yeah. And these guys, as we know, they guess because they talk to the quarterbacks and the coaches in those pregame meetings that the broadcasters do. And that's where they identify these guys and start making those lists that you're helping us make right now. The other thought I had, and I tweeted this, is there's an interesting media B story here, which is that ESPN tried to hire Peyton Manning, and then they tried to hire him again. And they probably tried to hire him 9 other times that we don't know about. He was not interested in that, because working for ESPN as a proper broadcaster requires a lot of travel. You're taking a lot of direction from producers, all that kind of stuff that is just, if you're Peyton Manning, any big star in any league, you're less excited about doing all that. You have nothing to prove in the world. But he got interested when ESPN said, well, what if we make a TV show that you, Peyton Manning, are the co-producer of? So ESPN
and you don't
is
have to
less,
travel.
Yeah, and ESPN is less your employer than ESPN is the host for your producing ambitions, as it was for Kobe Bryant, as it was for Kevin Durant, as it kind of was for MJ, because he had a taste of The Last Dance. That's interesting to me too, because that's different from the way that sports TV has almost always worked. And often there was a tier of guys that just had no interest in it because they made so much money, they'd been so successful, and they're just like, I don't need this. But if you're telling them, it's not us making you go to Orchard Park and do a game, you're doing it from home, and hey, you're producing the game, right? This is part of your shingle. You are turning you into a media titan, a media figure. that is more interesting to these guys, I think, than working for them in a normal way.
I agree. But from a football standpoint, how many guys can command that? I think it's two. I think it's Peyton Manning and it's Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For this particular thing is like getting to call a game. I think in the NBA, it's the same. It's three upper echelon guys who would be able to do this and not be able to travel and do it from their home. I think that there are a couple of lessons here that networks need to fight the temptation of. And one of them is kind of doing what you're talking about here. And just like all of a sudden we're giving in 3 years when he retires, we're giving Pete Carroll's media company his own show. You know, like that to me, this is a Peyton exclusive situation, and the other networks missed out on him. And so learning the wrong lessons is worse than learning no lessons in the spot.
Yes, that would be. It's going to be pretty rare. Couple other notes from tonight. We knew there were going to be anecdotes about the Mannings' own playing careers. We had lots of jokes about their lack of mobility, which I guess you'd expect in a Lamar Jackson game. Also, I did enjoy Peyton bringing up how much the Ravens defense haunted him. That felt germane to this discussion, and the highlights they dialed up were really funny. I'm going to butcher the line, but did Eli have the line of the night where he said, "The helmet Peyton played with the Broncos"? Yeah. Would you rather have it filled with quarters or $10,000 cash? Did you hear that?
I did. And everybody that was the line of the night, but I'm not really sure it landed with the group.
Yes, it was really funny.
It landed with us. It was really funny.
It's funny. He's working. Eli's an intellectual comedian. He showed that on Slow News Day. He works at all kinds of levels.
I couldn't believe it. He was an all-time Slow News Day guest. Until Jeff Fisher comes on tomorrow.
Yeah. There you go. A little preview for all you Slow News Day fans. The other thing that made me funny was the way they sort of
By the way, Jason Witten was on Slow News Day. Not great.
Yeah. Well,
not great. Probably the worst one ever. Sorry, Jason. So it does. Slow News Day does, there is some traits that carry over. That's all I'll say.
I did like the way they were cheering on the quarterbacks to make good plays.
I like that, yeah.
And this is always a thing when guys are fresh off the field or fairly fresh off the field like these two guys are, but they just seem to have a knowledge of who's playing right now. Like Peyton continually referencing Tom Brady being mad about the new jersey numbers. And it felt like he was doing that in a kind of organic way of like, yeah, I know Tom Brady. We make jokes about each other. Saw him at the Hall of Fame the other day, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I did like that.
We have a Lamar fumble. Oh, Peyton can't handle it right now. Peyton's just visibly upset.
I have a couple of notes for Peyton Manning before we go. You want to hear my...
No, please do. And I have one question for you.
Okay, let's do the question first, and then we'll close with the notes.
Give me the sport where this transfers most easily.
Baseball?
Baseball. I saw some people talking about golf, possibly, because of just how boring it all is.
Yeah, I think the slower the sport, the more time you have between golf shots.
Yeah, again, the more slack you're going to give some story that goes nowhere. Yeah, which is kind of funny.
What if you had golf and the people were offsite, like the Mannings are, and they didn't have to talk in the hushed voice when over the crowd, and they just did it in a different way?
Yeah, you know, you know who that would be in golf? It'd be Tiger freaking Woods or Phil Mickelson.
Gosh, now there's another guy who's going to get his own, if he wanted his own alternate telecast within his production.
Tiger channel. Cast?
I think Tiger would be able to lock that down. Got a couple of notes for Peyton Manning. Number one, we don't need to read tweets on the air. I think as television, I know that's like the number one idea everybody has. Okay, we're all good. If you have a message, I'd rather, they did like a text from Archie that said, "Stop scratching your head. Your mom says that," which I did notice Peyton was scratching his head a lot and is actually still scratching his head as I watch right now. We don't need to have texts.
No text.
We're all good with that.
Also, how'd they get that text?
I'm sorry, tweets. No, texts are okay. We don't need any tweets.
No tweets. I understand that, but how did they get the text from
I don't know. It was probably a bit. I don't know.
Of course. I know. I know. I'm just saying.
It was weird. The other thing was Shoemaker and I were talking about pop culture reference that had timed out today on the podcast. And we specifically mentioned Animal House. Like, just never make an Animal House reference ever. What does Peyton do? He references John Belushi's grade point average in Animal House. Peyton, were you writing a sports column in 1982?
What else is on that list?
That was the big one that came to mind.
Yeah.
Any Springsteen, of course, but that doesn't need to be said.
Any Springsteen. Stripes, I would put in that boat.
Yeah, but Peyton, were you writing like a Los Angeles Times sports column in the 80s? Animal House.
I'm ashamed to say this. I have a nugget on that. I have a nugget on that whole thing. Peyton Manning and actually the late great Greg Knapp were huge 80s movie buffs. And they used to make their backups, his backups, even like Brock Osweiler, watch any 80s comedy they had not seen. So like, not just Stripes, but like Mr. Mom was on the list. Like, Peyton used to assign 80s movies to his backup quarterbacks so that they could all sit around and joke about it. I'm ashamed I had that anecdote.
You did. That's incredible. But I want us to move to second tier 80s movies like Mr. Mom and just leave Animal House behind. If you make a Mr. Mom reference, that'd be really weird, but at least
there's still time.
Oh my God. All right. Kevin Clark. A moment in broadcasting tonight.
Wow.
I think I'm just shocked at, again, I'm very pro experimentation. I love seeing new things. Most new things turn out to be either bad or sort of good around the margins. And tonight, and again, if my texts and in the tweets I saw are any indication, people are like, I kind of like this. I'm not mad at something I'm seeing on sports television. And as you say, I laughed. I actually laughed at something on sports TV. What a moment.
I said this on the pod this morning, Monday morning, but Drew Brees making fun of his lack of arm strength on Sunday night in the NBC booth and a genuine chuckle because it was so out of nowhere. That felt like the first real laugh on any network desk in maybe 3 years. Like, it was a genuine belly laugh. It was a big laugh. It wasn't the first laugh, but it was the biggest laugh. Cause I just felt like nobody saw Drew Brees making fun of himself coming.
Yeah. It's mostly the kind of laughs that you get in the pregame shows, which are not even jokes, or the kind of laugh in the booth where you're now play by play announcer goes, oh, second and 10, just moves it along. Just make sure I want the audience to know that I'm not completing no selling this second and 10.
Or it'll be like just a completely inside joke that doesn't seem insidery to the booth guys. They'll be like, you know, so-and-so will fall over and pardon us like you at the Mexican restaurant last night. And they'll just laugh. And it's like, what just happened, man?
Yeah.
Too many margaritas there, bud.
Yeah. It's like, no. I want to know even less about your lives. Don't please don't bring that up ever again. All right. I'm Brian Curtis. He is Kevin Clark. Listen to Slow News Day. Listen to the Ringer NFL Show. Read his writings in The Ringer, production magic by Erica Cervantes. We're back soon with more lukewarm takes about the media. See you then.